but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
So now third and two. There's Bernard alongside Rising. And it's Rising on the keep. Look at Rising. What a fake. Can he put a move on? Rising to the pylon. Touchdown.
What do you tell the boys about the vibe of what tomorrow's going to be like here on campus with Oregon in town?
We don't lose at home. That's really the one thing that we do. You got to go out there and do everything you can. And that's what we're going to go plan on doing tomorrow.
Cam Rising announcing today, Utah quarterback, that he's retiring from football. Our guest next is the longtime radio voice of Utah Athletics, Bill Riley. He's now the director of broadcasting at the school. Also serves as the play-by-play voice for Utah football and men's basketball. And he's a friend of this show. Bill Riley joining us. Hey, what's the mood in Salt Lake City with Cam Rising kind of giving the final word on this?
Well, I think, hey, John, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm glad you're doing well, too. I think people have just been wondering what he's up to and what was going to be next with him. And, you know, there had been a couple of sightings around town here and there this spring. I remember you reached out to me like a month, yeah, month and a half ago and said, hey, you seen Cam Rising? And I hadn't. He just really hadn't been around, and then he made the social media post today, and it was kind of what a lot of people suspected. His body's still pretty broken. I mean, he was beat up. He was that guy that when you watched him play, you knew he left everything out there and didn't avoid hits much, probably to his body's detriment, and he's still recovering, and he made the announcement today via social media. He's retiring from football, which we kind of expected, and I think there's some thought, there's been some other reports out there that it sounds like he's going back to Southern California to his old high school, Newberry Park High School, and going to be the offensive coordinator with his old head coach and kind of mentor a young man that he's known for a long time. So I think it was just one of those things where he kind of cleared some things up, and now I think you've got a lot of Utah fans and really fans of the old, you know, Pac-12 kind of reminiscing about what was a good, short but good run for Cam Rising.
Yeah, let's talk his legacy because, you know, for a period there in the Pac-12, nobody was beating him in a big game. And I remember Cam Ward at Media Day in 2023. He looks across the room, he sees Cam Rising, and he starts yelling, "Goat, goat!" You know, he was MVP and back-to-back winner. In your mind, what's his legacy?
Oh, his legacy, I think, is an all-time great for Utah football. In a lot of ways, you can make a case. He might be the most important player in program history, even though he wasn't an All-American, even though he was only all Pac-12, I think, one time. He was the guy that got him over the hump, John. I mean, they built themselves up over the years in the big, you know, the Pac-12. They went from being that plucky little group of five team that played really hard to a team that could compete. But they never quite got over the hump. Even with Tyler Huntley in 2019 when Washington beat him in that Huntley didn't play in that game. It was all defense, that 10-3 barn burner in Santa Clara. But then Cam got here, and all of a sudden, you know, they found their quarterback. They found the guy that brought some swagger to the program. They found a guy that everybody followed in the locker room, and a guy that got him over the hump. Against USC at the Coliseum, against Oregon at Rice-Eccles Stadium, those two back-to-back championship games, and frankly went toe-to-toe with Ohio State in that Rose Bowl, and he obviously got knocked out late in that Rose Bowl, but, I mean, he was the guy. So I've said this before, and I'll say it again. He's one of, if not the most important player, because he helped them not just be a cool little story in the Power Five, but he made them a championship and kind of national contender as a player, as members of the Pac-12. Here, if you'll indulge me, I've got the five most important figures, not necessarily players, but the five most important figures in Utah football history. Number five is Ron McBride. Old school fans know Ron. He was hired in the early late 80s, early 90s, and he brought Utah football back to life in the old Wacken Mountain West and made the rivalry with BYU a rivalry again, because BYU had won like 19 of 20 times, and he made them competitive. Number four for me was Alex Smith. Alex was the quarterback of the BCS busting team that Urban Meyer coached, and he was a Heisman finalist. Urban Meyer is number three. People might look at that and say, number three? Well, he was only here 2 years. But I always said Urban Meyer made Utah football cool. He made them a powerhouse in a really short period of time. Number two for me is Cam Rising, for those reasons I explained to you a moment ago. And the most important figure in Utah football history is their current head coach, Kyle Whittingham, because he took what Urban Meyer kind of began and he built on it, and he transformed them from just a plucky little group of five school to a power in a Power Five league. He's the school's winningest program, winningest coach of program history, and one of the best, and most people will tell you he's one of the best five or seven coaches in college football. So that's my list, and Cam Rising is number two on that list.
I love it. I love that you have that list, and you got your sort of a pseudo Mount Rushmore and then one. Let me ask you this. Week two of Rising's last season, Utah beats Baylor. He gets shoved out of bounds. He kind of tumbles into the Gatorade station on the Baylor sideline. The injury really forced him to miss the next three games, but then subsequently now he's saying, you know, he basically can't grip a football. Did you have a sense at the time, Bill, as you see that play unfolding, that this was something monumental, or does it? When does that occur to you? You know, as the injury progresses.
Well, we didn't know, John. I mean, he goes in, he's hurt. He goes to the sideline, and then you could see him across the field holding his hand. His hand was wrapped in a towel at the time, and he walked into the locker room. So you know, you're thinking, okay, broken finger, sprained finger. You know, and everybody's very nebulous with their injuries, so you don't really know. But something was wrong, but you didn't think it was, at least at the time, something that was going to, you know, keep him out and really derail his career or that season, and it did in some ways. And then when he did come back to play, his hand was not quite 100%, but then I believe it was the Arizona State game, but then he tweaked a leg, and there was a leg injury mixed in there too. So it was... It was, in a lot of ways, it was just really, you know, like the football gods were conspiring to keep him off the field, because, as you said, when he was healthy, he was a really good quarterback who teammates loved and followed. He brought some swagger, and he was a competitor that found a way to win. He was the epitome of what a great college football player is. I don't know, even if he stays healthy, what his career would have been like beyond college football, because we see that all the time. Guys have great collegiate careers, and then maybe they make a team or they don't make a team because the college game and the pro game are just two different games. So I'm not sure what Cam's career would have looked like, but what I do know is when he was on the field for Utah, Utah was a different team, and he was that ultimate competitor that just found a way to win. And so for that reason, he'll always be beloved here. He's always going to have a place on that short list of most beloved players in Utah football history.
He reminds me a little bit, like, you know, just from you know, the physical stature and his ability, he reminds me a little of Kellen Clemens, who played at Oregon, and he has that leadership gene, and I think he would have been an NFL player. I think he would have made a roster. I don't know if he would have been a star, but I think he could have made a roster and played, and Clemens stuck around and played for, like, the Jets and the Chargers and the Rams, and, you know, he was on rosters throughout his career. I think he had that, and now I'm not surprised to see him go into coaching. You watched him in the last couple of years as he dealt with injuries, put a headset on the side. Did you hear anything about his input and how he helped coach the quarterbacks or helped the offense when he was on the sideline?
Well, he was always seen, you know, even before he did that in that year, you know, he was, when he transitioned, redshirt came in from Texas, he was, you know, he was Andy Ludwig's kind of right-hand man. He sat in the booth. He watched how Ludwig put game plans together. He sat in the booth during games and watched how Ludwig called plays. And that's why he was so – Andy's offense was not an easy offense. And you saw that a little bit last year when a true freshman tried to have to run that with Isaac Wilson. But, it doesn't surprise me at all because Cam was such a football savant. And I agree with you. I think his toughness and his football IQ would have made him a really good backup quarterback in somebody's room, a guy that could have gone in there and run a couple of plays. He would have known the playbook inside and out, and teammates would have loved him. So, yeah, I think you're right. If he would have stayed healthy, he probably would have had a spot on a roster somewhere. But to your point, it doesn't surprise me at all that he goes into coaching because he was always so dialed in on the coaching, you know, almost like a player coach in many ways here with Andy Ludwig.
Bill Riley is with us, the longtime voice of Utah athletics and a guy who was there for many of the big moments. You mentioned the conference championship games, but I'll go back to the comeback win against USC at Rice-Eccles Stadium. I was there that night. I said, that's going to be a big game. I flew out to cover it, and Rising delivered in what was an epic second half and then the game-winning punctuation. That go down in your mind as one of the best wins in Utah football history, that game against USC and that performance by Rising?
From an individual standpoint, it was probably his greatest performance, John. I mean, you were there that night. It was two of the loudest nights. You were there for both of them. You were there for the Oregon game the year before where the Covey punt returned at the end of the half. We all thought the press box was shaking that night. And then that next year, in a lot of ways, he outdueled, Caleb Williams in that game. You know, Caleb Williams was really good early, and then late Utah's defense kind of figured him out. And ironically enough, Caleb was 0-for-3 in his career against Utah. He was never able to beat Utah. But that night, when you look at Cam, he did it all. He did it with his arms. I think that was the night, too, that he was 16-for-16 throwing the football to Dalton Kincaid. Kincaid and he had that great rapport, but he did it with his legs. He did it with his arms. He did it with his toughness. The last touchdown, then the 2-point conversion. That to me was kind of the epitome of Cam Rising in that game. Just using everything that he had and everything that was required to be a really good. I mean, they had to outscore him that night. Defense was not at a premium that evening, and he did. He outdueled an offense in a lot of ways that had a Heisman Trophy winner and a lot of NFL wide receivers and running backs on the other side, and Rising and his guys outdueled him that night.
And I remember the touchdown that pulled it to 42-41, and then what are they going to do for the 2-point attempt? And Cam Rising with the ball in his hands, fun to see. Bill Riley with us from Salt Lake City. Kyle Whittingham, he's not done. He wants to finish this and leave this in a good place. Do you everybody always asks him, is this the last year? Is this the last year? But did you get a sense that last season as it unfolded, it wasn't unfolding as scripted? Did you know all along, Bill, kind of that, hey, Kyle will come back. This is not the kind of year he ends on?
My gut told me yes, but I didn't know that by any means because Kyle, and you know him a little bit too, and I've known him for 20 years, He is not a guy that shares a lot outwardly. You would not want to play poker with Kyle Whittingham because he's got a great poker face. And so my gut said, I can't see Kyle going out on this season where just anything that could have gone wrong went wrong. They had injuries. Yeah, the quarterback was a big deal, but they had some injuries other places on the offense too. But it was hard for me to see it. But did I know? No, I didn't know because even with me, I'd say, hey, what do you got? And he'd just kind of wink and say, well, you'll know when everybody else knows, or maybe I'll let you know before it goes public. But he didn't give any real indication. But when he made the announcement, one, I was happy because I've liked working with him, and he's just such a pro, and he's built this program. But two, it didn't surprise me a great deal because, he's got a lot of pride, and I think last year had Rising, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, but their defense was really good last year. They had a lot going for them, but they just didn't have a lot of experience behind Rising, and when Cam got hurt in that Baylor game, that just everything else kind of fell apart offensively. And so I think they're in a better place this year, but having Kyle come back is fun to have, because this is his program, and, you know, we'll see what he can do this year. And again, it was a new league. I don't think he wants, you know, his only taste of the Big 12 to be a, you know, a 4-8 season.
The Salt Lake City and Portland battle for Major League Baseball, this may become a thing, Bill. I hope we stay friends throughout this, but you tell me, how are people in Salt Lake wanting baseball, or aren't you happy with NBA and hockey? Why do you have to be so greedy? You know, come on.
Well, I think they are. By the way, we already stole Dale Murphy from you.
You guys
had Dale Murphy on the old baseball project up there, and now he's the face of the of Big League Utah.
Power of religion.
You know, yeah, I know. I think they want it, and they've got a good plan. And you know, you and I have talked about this back when I was doing my radio show. Utah's had everybody on the same page here for a long time, and they still do. You know, they've got the land picked out. They've got, you know, the money investment. They've got the ownership group, which owned the Jazz for 35 years, and they've got loaded pockets. They've got everything in order now. I don't know what Major League Baseball is looking for, and I obviously read your stuff and follow stuff up there still, and it sounds like Portland's finally kind of getting its act together and have some sites picked out, and they've got a good plan. So it's going to be really interesting, but they do want baseball here, and they've got big plans for it if it can happen.
Bill Riley, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us and lending us some insight. It'll be fun to see what Rising does. You think he makes a good college coach someday? I mean, I think, you know, probably coach at high school a little bit, but I could see him back in college as a play caller.
Oh, absolutely. I could see him, depending on if he likes the taste that he gets back at his old high school with his old coach and the protege down there. I could absolutely see Cam making the jump and going to college at some point. And I think he will be a good coach, because he loves football. He's one of the, you know, you were around him. He's one of those guys that loves the game. And I don't think you can coach football anymore at any level, John, unless you really love the game.
Bill Riley, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Talk to you soon, John.
All right, there he goes from Salt Lake City. Look, they've got NHL. They've got NBA. They've got the University of Utah. What does Portland have? We've got food trucks. We've got an NBA team. We've got a little soccer. Portland needs MLB before Salt Lake City needs MLB. Good stuff from Bill Riley. All right, the top five figures in Oregon football history. You tell me who they are. 503-417-7575. Give me your nominees. We'll come up with our top five list. Oregon State football history, top five figures. 417-7575 in the 503 area code. And the Blazers. The Trailblazers' top five figures in franchise history. Who are they? 417-7575 in the 503 area code. Light the phone lines up.